we will not see a harvest if the blessing system is not established in our lives. We see, according to Malachi 3, that the blessing system of God is established through tithing. Say with me, through tithing. Because the Bible says when we bring the tithe to the storehouse, God will pour out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Somebody say blessing. It says He will pour out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now listen to me. We will never see a harvest if we sow seeds, but we don't have our blessing system in place that is tithing first of all. Because when we tithe in the kingdom of God, we establish the blessing system. Now we can begin to sow seeds because our ground is blessed. Listen to me now. The Bible says in Malachi 3, it says you are cursed with a curse because we've withheld the tithes and offerings. We are cursed with a curse. God doesn't curse people. Let's establish that. God loved you before you tithed. I say He loved us before we even tithed. So let's establish that God doesn't curse people. But listen to me. When we don't tithe, our finance is cursed. The ground is cursed. Which means we might be blessed in other arenas of our lives. But if we don't tithe, it means our ground is cursed. The Bible says in Romans, if the root is holy, so the lamp will be. Which means every arena of our lives must be sanctified. The Bible says in the book of Genesis 14, you can go and study it, Genesis 14, that Abraham went with his men onto the battlefield. And the Bible says God gave them victory over the battle. God gave them supernatural victory. And the Bible says they went in and they collect the spoils of the enemy. Genesis 14. And the Bible says Abraham came to Melchizedek, which was his high priest. And the Bible says the moment he gave the tithe, the 10% of the spoils, to Melchizedek, his high priest, the blessing of the Lord was declared over Abraham's life. Which means the blessing system was established in Abraham's life. We see Jacob in Genesis 28. He's got the supernatural encounter with God, where a ladder is being set up from the earth and the top of it reached the heavens. And the angels of God is ascending and descending on it. And as he has this encounter with God, God says, I will give you the land. I will make you great. And after this encounter, Jacob said to God, God, I will give you 10% of the land. Now it says in Hebrews 7 verse 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, that's the story I just told you from Genesis 14, and returning from the slaughter of the kings, listen now, and blessed him. So we see the tithe establishes the blessing system. Say with me, the tithe establishes the blessing system. The Bible says, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all the first, being translated king of righteousness. And you can go and study the rest of the story. But we see that the blessing is established through the tithe. Say with me one more time. Say with me, the blessing system is established through the tithe. Malachi 3 from verse 6. It says, for I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Watch this now. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. We cannot rob God financially because God is blessed all by himself. God owns everything. The mining companies think they own the gold and the silver, but God is the owner of everything. The Bible says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. So God is not broke. He's not disgusted or busted. He's not in debt because he's blessed. Can you say amen? What are we robbing God from? We are robbing him from opening the windows of heaven for us and pouring out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. The Bible says God is a jealous God, which means he wants to be first in your marriage. He wants to be first in your children's life. He wants to be first in your business. That means CEO of your company. He wants to be first in your finance. He wants to be first in every arena of your life. So the thing is this, if we don't tithe, and I'm speaking from a point of view of being a tither myself in the kingdom of God, because I can't preach this to you if I'm not tithing myself. Can you say amen? And we're not preaching this because the church is in trouble. The church is blessed. Can we establish that this morning? Amen? This is not a money test, it's a heart test. Can you say amen? Can somebody say it's not a money test, it's a heart test? God is testing our hearts in every arena. The thing is this, if we don't tithe, the hands of God is tied. We are cuffing God, which means he can't rebuke the devourer because that arena in our lives is not sanctified yet. Come on. If that arena is not sanctified, God can't move in our finance. You are cursed with a curse, for you have rob me, even this whole nation. It says in verse 10, bring all the tithes. Turn to somebody, say, bring all the tithes. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing. That's the blessing system. Turn to somebody, say, that's the blessing system. That there will not be room enough to receive it. Watch this. It says in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That is demonic principalities coming against your finance. God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 12 says, and all nations will call you what? Come on, speak. All nations will call you blessed. All nations will recognize the blessing system of God upon your life because you're a tither. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of the light, says the Lord of hosts. Listen to the NLT translation. I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Verse 7 says, even ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts, of the heavenly armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Verse 8 says, should people cheat God? I love this translation. Turn to somebody and say, I'm not a cheater. Should people cheat God, yet you have cheated me? But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of tithes and offerings due to me. This translation says, due to me. God says it's due to me. So, to who does the tithe belong? Is it something you give? It's something you bring. Because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God in the first place. Come on. God gave you the job in the first place. Come on, somebody. He made sure you get that salary in the first place. If it wasn't for God, you would have still been broke, disgusted, and busted. But God favored you with His blessing. Come on, somebody. And therefore, we say, God, we give back to You what belongs to You in the first place. It says in verse 9, you are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating Me. Verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that is the house of God, the ministry, the church where you receive your spiritual nourishment. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse where the purpose of God is being fulfilled in your life, so that there will be enough food in My temple. Say, will be spiritual food. Tithing also means the maintenance of religious activities, which means if you tithe, it means that you empower the temple. You empower the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. You might not be up here singing, preaching, playing an instrument, but as you tithe, it means you are empowering the gospel, which means souls are getting saved because you tithe. Come on, somebody. You are paying for a boat. Come on, somebody. And fish are being caught, and you are part of the harvest. Come on. Come on, somebody. Your tithe has an eternal impact in the realm of the spirit. God remembered Jacob because his father Abraham tithed. Tithing puts you in the mind of God forever, which means when we tithe in the kingdom of God, we advance the kingdom of God, we build the kingdom of God, we empty hell and we populate heaven. Come on, somebody. I wonder if there's any kingdom builders in this place that say, I love the kingdom of God, I'm going to bless the kingdom of God, I'm going to build the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. Your tithe has an eternal impact. Come on. Therefore, the Bible says, do not store up for yourselves treasures in this earth where rust destroy. Come on, somebody. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where rust cannot destroy. Come on. That's souls. Turn to somebody, say, souls. 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 Our fancy clothes, our fancy cars will all burn up in fire one day. Come on. The Bible says the earth will be dissolved in fire. Come on. This earth will be burned up, one big bonfire. Come on, somebody. The only thing we can take with us is souls. Turn to somebody, say, souls. It's all about souls. I'm tithing for souls. I'm giving for souls. Therefore, David was the biggest tither in the Bible. If David would have lived in the 21st century, if you go calculate his tithe and what he did for God financially, they would drop his tithe in front of this church with a few 18-wheeler trucks loaded with gold and silver. The banks will be too small to bank his tithe. Come on, somebody. Therefore, David had his own bank. My God, I feel the anointing. Because David said, God, I put my affection on Your house. I put my heart on Your house. It's Your kingdom first. It's Your house first. And because David put God first, God put him first. God will put you first when you put Him first. Come on. He will put your business first when you put Him first. First seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I feel the anointing on this. I sense an affection for the house of God. Come on. I sense a love for the house of God rising up on the inside of God's people. They want to see the devil's butt being kicked. Come on, somebody. And they know when they tithe, churches can be built. Come on. Cities can be transformed. Come on, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah. Watch this now. It says, I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Turn to somebody and say, try it. Try it. Put me to the test. You can study the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. The only place where God says, test me, is in that chapter. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and diseases. I will protect them and guard them. God will be the guardian over your harvest. So when you plant seeds now, that's the harvest system, the seed sowing system. When you plant seeds, God says, I will guard it. It says, I will guard it from insects and diseases. Wat beteken jou vrug gaan nie vrot word nie. It will bear fruit in its right season. Therefore, I've seen people, they sow seeds, but they don't tithe, and they never see harvest, want hulle vrugte word vrot. So the seed might accumulate, maar as die boompie opkom, dan trap die duivel hom stikken. Because the ground is cursed. Come on, somebody. There's no bodyguard over the ground. God says, when you tithe, I will become a bodyguard over your ground. So now you sow seeds. God says, I protect, I keep the locusts out. I keep diseases out. Watch what it says. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe. Which means if we don't tithe, the devil comes in the garden, in our harvest field, and he has free reign, and God is standing at the gate, cuffed. And the enemy comes in and he destroys. En hy ruk som jou vrugte af nog voor hulle ryp is. Come on, somebody. And God is standing at the gate and he says, I want to come in. I want to be the bodyguard over your harvest. But you just cuffed me because you've withheld the tithe. My God, this is precious. Turn to somebody and say, God will protect my harvest. I will be a tither in the kingdom of God. This is precious. Then it says, then all nations will call you blessed, for you'll be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. It is the blessing that will cause you to enjoy success in life. Let's establish this. The blessing is not things. The blessing is Jesus Christ himself. The blessings is but only the effect and the fruits of the blessing that you have on your life. What are you saying? When you have the blessing, because God says, I will pour out a blessing. If you have the blessing of God over your life, they can drop you in the middle of the Kalahari Desert. And we can come back years later and find you there, a great success story. Because it's not about your location. It's not about where you live. It's about the blessing of the Lord upon your life. Which means if I have the blessing of God upon my life, I can go any place, anytime, anywhere and make a success. Can I feel the anointing of this? Because I have the blessing of God established on my life. I have God involved in my finance. I have God involved in my marriage. Come on. I have God involved in every area of my life. Turn to somebody and say, establish the blessing first. Abraham established the blessing. And because Abraham was one of the first tithers, we are part of that DNA. We are heirs according to faith. We are the seed of Abraham because he established the tithing system. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abraham, go for yourself for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Watch this now. We have to establish this, that God had to take Abraham out from amongst his family members because they were determining his mindset. There are some people you need to get away from. Some people just talk broke, disgusted bastard all day long. They are so negative that if they touch your automobile's battery with their bare hands, your battery goes flat immediately. Negative all day long. That's all they can do is just talk negative. God had to remove Abraham from his family members. Some people will limit you. Don't mix with people that talk limitation all day long and negative all day long. Evangelize them, pray for them, bless them, but don't associate with them and become like them, because you might just get around some people that's full of life. Come on. Get around some people that say, I believe there's a dream on the inside of you. I believe there's greatness on the inside of you. I believe you're more than an overcomer. I believe you're going up and not down. I believe you're going forward and not backwards. I believe you're the apple of your father's eye, that you're blessed going in, blessed going out. Come on, somebody. You need some chargers in the spirit, that when you get around them, you feel you want to take the world. When you are push. Whew. Turn to somebody, say, we going somewhere. But if you talk negative, dan gaan ek jou afskit, man. Just go like this. If you talk negative around me, I'm just gonna go like this. I'm just gonna shake you off. Because you're pulling me down. I'm so depressed, I feel like drinking. And I'm not going back there. Jesus saved me by his blood. Come on, son. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So God said to Abraham, I want you to go away from your relatives. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you with abundance, increase of favors, and make your name famous. 2 o'clock in the morning, this morning, 2 o'clock a.m. in the morning, I was getting revelation from this. And God said to me, go prophesy as I made the name of Colgate famous, because the owner of Colgate gives 90% to the church, Pastor Francois, and he lives off of 10%. His philosophy is, how can I live off 10? How can I live off of 90 and God lives off of 10? And God took toothpaste, tanna pasta, tanna siep. God took toothpaste and he made it famous. Colgate, now you have a white smile. Show me all 38 teeth. I mean 28. Some of us have bigger teeth. Some of us have smaller teeth. Some of us look like Madonna when we smile. But we have white teeth. Some of you need to be issued. We have white teeth because how you fall, son, and voila. Because of Colgate. Then somebody say, it's because of Colgate. And just like God said to Abraham, I will make your name famous. God said to me, what I did with Mr. Colgate, I'm going to do with every tither in the kingdom of God. I will take their names and I will raise them up and I will make them famous and distinguished in my kingdom, because they're tithers in my kingdom. I did it to Abraham because Abraham was a tither in the kingdom. Come on, somebody. Woo! Shout woo! And I will make your name famous. Turn to somebody, say, one of these days. Kijk om in die oog. Turn to somebody, say, one of these days. You're gonna stand in line for my autograph. God is gonna. I turn to your neighbor, say, I'm very humble I'm saying this very humbly. But God is gonna take my name and make something of it. Not because I'm good, but because he's so good. Come on, somebody. Because he's so faithful. Come on, somebody. That business, that ministry, We'll be a household name because you put God first in your finance. Let's give Jesus good praise in this place. Come on. God declared this over Abraham because he was a tither. Watch this now. And I will make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing. Which means Abraham was a distributing center. When we tithe, we break the back of lack. We attack our lack. When we tithe in the kingdom of God, we become rulers over finance. If we withhold the tithe, then we work for money. Money's not working for us. When we tithers in the kingdom of God, we dominate finance. The first thing God said to us as human beings, He says, I give you authority to rule upon the fish of the sea. Before He said the birds of the air, because the fish represent money and people. I give you authority to rule upon the fish of the sea. The fish speaks of money. Jesus said, the coin is in the mouth of the fish. I make you rulers over finance. We ought to have the biggest businesses as Christians. Come on, somebody. We ought to have the biggest companies as Christians because God gave us authority in the realm of finance. But the test is, can we put Him first in everything? It's one thing to tithe when you earn a salary, but become an owner of a company. Then the test comes. Because it's one thing to tithe on 10,000. But what happens when God promotes you, and this is where many people miss it, and God makes you the owner of the company, and now you get 100,000. Now you must tithe on 100,000. So your levels of tithing increases as you stay faithful in the kingdom of God. Listen to me, I've never looked back financially. I've always moved forward because I'm a tither in the kingdom of God. Come on. We move from glory to glory because we tithers. Abraham, before he paid his men in Genesis 14, he first gave the tithe to Melchizedek. And after that, he sought out his men for fighting in the battle with him. So it's God first. Before we do our payments, before we do anything, we give the tithe to God first. Turn to somebody and say, we're going to put Him first. And Abraham discovered this secret. Abraham walked in this and he saw the blessing of the Lord upon his life. I'm closing with this. Watch this. And you will be distinguished and you will be a blessing. So there's a realm we move in where we become the blessing. Turn to somebody and say, I will be the blessing. Bible prosperity is having enough of God's provision to take care of the needs of others. Bible prosperity is, I am blessed enough to be a blessing to the poor. That's what we do. Every third month, we give to the poor. Which means we become a distributing center for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? So Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. Turn to somebody and say, you are blessed to be a blessing. Wow, this is powerful. Which means this is bigger than you. Turn to somebody and say, hierdie is groter as jou koppietjie. This is much bigger. God has got a bigger picture. Come on, somebody. I say God's got a bigger, it's more than you and your pie and your coke. God has got a bigger plan. Can you say amen? You're going to buy some pies and cokes for somebody that needs some pie and coke. Come on, somebody. You'll be dispensing good to others. Can you say amen? Dispensing good to others. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insult language towards you. Turn to somebody and say, what God has blessed, no man can curse. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, And by you, they will bless themselves. I want to establish this. This is the initial blessing spoken to Abraham. Notice the results, the effects, the fruits of the blessing. Genesis 13, verse 4. Now Abraham was extremely rich. Say with me, extremely rich. Extremely rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. What is the blessing? Let's define the blessing. The blessing is endued power for success. I say the blessing is endued power for success. I will pour out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, which means God empowers us supernaturally for success and prosperity. Can you say amen? In other words, the results of the blessing is prosperity and success. Can you say amen? It means to be endued. It means to be fully dressed, clothed. Turn to somebody and say, you are clothed. You are dressed for success. It means something is being put on you. Come on. Something's being smeared on you. It is the blessing of God upon your life.